Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Josh Korb. Josh is a dynamic and multifaceted educator who passionately strives to revolutionize the world of education. He began his career as a math teacher, and his drive led him to become Director of Technology and Innovation, which is his current role. This role has allowed him to merge his love for teaching with his profound experience in instructional technology in hopes of transforming the educational landscape. He's an accomplished author, educational consultant, and captivating speaker, and he shares his insights when he's speaking and in his writing on the intersection of technology and education, inspiring audiences, and unboxing potential. His ability to communicate complex ideas with clarity and conviction has cemented his reputation as a thought leader in his educational community. In addition, Josh's entrepreneurial spirit and software engineering skills gave birth to Master 3DU Inc., an edtech startup with a mission to empower leaders, teachers, and students through mastery-based teaching and learning. This venture has positioned Josh as a pioneer in the edtech space, garnering accolades and inspiration. In addition to his many accomplishments, Josh's dedication to continuous learning is evident in the pursuit of a doctoral degree that he's currently working on, and it is going to be in education and standards-based learning. And throughout his career, Josh has proven himself to be an unstoppable force for change in education by empowering others to embrace innovation and harness the power of technology. And he also continues to ignite the potential of countless leaders, educators, and students. Well, welcome to the podcast, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Well, let's start off with a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Yeah, man. So we're going to go back well over 10 years at this point, to a point in my career where I was like fresh off the boat, like realizing that I was going to be a teacher. I had known I wanted to be a teacher for so long. But when I got into the classroom, I mean, I just turned into I was a high school math teacher who just wanted students to understand math. And I didn't really go beyond that. I was a 7 to 3:30, like don't do anything extra kind of teacher. And I wasn't building the connections that I wanted to at the time. And then that sort of all came to a halt when I had an accident and ended up leaving myself temporarily paralyzed for about 10 months. It took me to regain strength and start walking and talking again. And during that entire process, I realized how much time slips away from us and how quickly it could be gone. And the moment that we share with our students is a moment and an opportunity for us to change their lives before they have to experience something like I did. So I ever since then, I've been going 110%, 150 miles per hour on the road to awesome. So shout out to Darren Pepperd. But just being more present and being more engaged in my students' lives and building relationships with them. So from that opportunity, and I call it an opportunity at this point, because it really shifted my way of thinking. And it got me onto this path where I realized that every teacher has the opportunity to impact a child, even if it's a smile or a high five or something so insignificant that doesn't take a lot of effort on our part. Those small changes can add up to a monumental shift for a child. So that's ultimately where I started as just a teacher, but I realized quickly that I wanted to be the teacher that made a difference in a child's life.
Yeah. And like you said, it takes maybe something that is traumatic and, big wake up call to realize that and, to continue on and pursue your passion and realize, the difference you can make. So that's really inspiring to hear. And you shouted out Darren Pepperd of Road to Awesome. So you connected with me because you have a book coming out, which is called Be the Cause, The Educator's Guide to Effective Instruction, which is published by Road to Awesome. And talk to me a little bit about just the idea you had for the book and then some of the takeaways people get when they buy the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And it all stems from the idea that I love hearing the phrase, it's all because of a teacher. because I've heard that from time to time in my life. My mom was an educator for years. She was a music teacher, and she just had a way of connecting with students on such a personal and deep level that she like never had behavior problems in class and never had to worry about classroom management because the kids knew that she was there for them and that they could open up to her and they could make a connection and they could learn and they could be just the person that they who they are. They stayed true to themselves and like realizing that she had such an impact on on them. Now she's been retired for quite some time at this point, and I still hear former students who are now like parents of students that I've had, but former students of hers who come up and say to me like, "Hey, how's your mom doing? Man, like she was the best teacher. Like I really enjoyed it. She really listened to me." And like the impact that we have as teachers, sometimes we won't see for 20, 30, 40 years down the line, but the ripples start within our classroom. And I think back to like my dad and I used to go camping all the time. And we would skip rocks. That was the thing that we would do at, if you're a Pennsylvania native, Gifford Pinchot State Park. We would go there all the time and we would skip rocks together. And like what's amazing is like a little pebble can cause a ripple that goes out to every part of the lake. And that instance, that moment that we reach a child and the light bulb goes off or they feel heard, they feel seen, that's that ripple effect that we're not going to see the product, but man, we're part of the process from the very beginning. And that's what I tried to capture within this book. And it's broken into two parts. Like the first part is all about shifting our focus and shifting our mindset from just being a teacher and somebody who is quote unquote forgotten by so many kids throughout the years and being the teacher, leaving a legacy where students look back and we're like, wow, I remember that lesson that I learned in Mr. Korb's math class. Or I remember that one time where Mr. Korb stopped me in the hallway and asked how I was doing. And I needed that day. And that's the kind of like personal touch that teaching needs to have in order for us to be the most effective teachers that we can be. So the first part is all about being the cause, not waiting for like cause and effect to just happen, but you can actually direct that to happen in a positive way. So in part one, we break down, it's called the effect framework, and it's six principles that I know that I've lived by over the years and I've sort of cultivated and fine-tuned over the years. And that's starting with engagement. We focus on fostering creativity, we facilitate problem solving, we embrace diversity within our class because we all have a story to tell. We collaborate together because collaboration leads to so much more than just the product that we're trying to, or the problem that we're trying to solve, or the product that we're trying to create. It leads to those interpersonal skills that students need in order to be successful in the world that we're in. And then ultimately, all that adds up to this transformative experience for not only just your students, but also you as a teacher, because we have to shift sort of how we see ourselves in education. Like gone are the days where we sit and we lecture and we talk at students. We need to talk with students. We need to engage them in a conversation. So the first part of the book is all the theory behind what the second part of the book is all about. And me as an educator, every time I go to a professional development, I want to be able to take something from it and start using it immediately. If I have to think about it and then create something, it may happen, but it's not a guarantee. So I wanted the second part of the book to almost be like a handbook where you could constantly come back and pull strategies out at any given time and jump right in and try it the next day. So the second part of the book is cause the effect. So we have be the cause, which is just our internal drive to being amazing educators. And then how do we take how we are as amazing educators and turn that into actionable items? So cause the effect, we break it down as the why, the how, and the right now of over 60 strategies, where the right now we dive into talking about like individual lessons that you can do that's based in a sound strategy that's research based. You understand where it came from. You know how to do it as a teacher, and then ultimately, what can I do in my classroom tomorrow? So that's the gist of the whole book. But ultimately, it's finding something that works. Even the smallest change. If you look at this book and you find like one activity that you can try in your class, and you do it consistently and work with your students, and you see a positive change, that's that ripple that I was talking about earlier. You don't know where that's going to lead to, and it's going to create an awesome experience for kids.
Yeah, so like you really summed up how like a lot of the time when we're reading, we don't get a chance to put things into practice. And have that opportunity to maybe reflect on the practice. Like you said, second part of the book is like a handout, a handbook where people can reflect on like how they implement it in their practice. So really looking forward to that. And, you know, I'll definitely put a link to that book in the show notes. Let's talk a little bit about the doctoral program that you're in. So I said in the bio, it's an instructional technology. I talked about kind of where you are in the program and what it's focused on, especially.
Yeah. So right now, I'm going through Walden University, and Walden has been great as far as just helping me guide my thoughts and being able to pick a topic that's really I'm passionate about, but has some like research out there that I can draw upon. And that's the standards-based movement, and it really stemmed from the pandemic. And we're going to talk about it in a little bit about Master 3DU, and that's where that came from as well. But from the pandemic, we needed a way to make sure that parents understood what their child was learning and how they were progressing throughout their like journey of education. And if you look at a standard report card and you see like A's, B's, C's, and D's or like a percentage, like what does that actually tell me? If I got a report card from my kid and it said that he got 85% in biology, does that mean that he knows 85% of biology? Probably not. It's probably more an indication of how hard he worked, or like maybe it was some group projects that were along the way. And I'm saying that those things are great, but it's how we assess and how we actually truly determine what a child knows and is able to do that's ultimately more important, because that's how we're able to differentiate on the next level. So my doctorate is all centered around standards-based learning, but also digital badging. A number of years ago in like 2010, Mozilla, Firefox, they came out with this digital credentialing platform. And it was really intriguing. And a lot of like Fortune 500 companies now have like certification courses where you can get badges that go onto your email chain. I know that when I was an educator, I was like Google Apps for Educator. I was an Apple certified educator. And like I had all those badges that showed and demonstrated that I knew how to do something. And like I started thinking to myself, like, why can't that happen in the classroom? So standards-based learning sort of pairs nicely with digital credentialing. And that's really what my doctorate and my thesis is all going to center around. Is digital badging a way that we can truly capture what a student knows and is able to do versus a traditional report card?
Are you doing any type of action research or perhaps like I did a more of a it was a how-to slash a professional development as an EDD of how maybe a district can implement the digital badging. So what would be the final product when you're done?
Yeah. And actually, I'm doing it for like two reasons. And I'm going to jump ahead and talk about Master 3DU here because this ties directly into that. I started a company with one of my best friends. He's a principal at a district. And from the pandemic, we needed a way to show students what they were learning and how they were learning it, because we weren't allowed to assign grades during that first like couple months of shutdown. So we created a digital badging platform that all centered around standards-based grading. So we had learning goals, we had proficiency scales, we had learning targets that went along with them, and we worked with teachers to develop an eye-catching platform. And mind you, like this was all in our quote spare time. So it was a lot of just like late nights. We were working at the computer and just bouncing ideas off of each other. And we came across this idea where it was a late night. We wanted to order pizza, and we picked up the Domino's pizza app, and my son had happened to stumble into the room, and he was looking, and he was able to follow and tell us where the pizza was in the process. And we're like, wow, like what if a student, and he was in kindergarten at this point, what if a student could look at their device or look online or look at a piece of paper and be able to pinpoint where they were in their process of learning. So we adopted sort of the Domino's pizza tracker as our way of determining how they were progressing through an individual standard. Were they beginning? Were they meeting the standard? Were they exceeding the standard? And we really worked with the district to build out a platform. And now we're in schools across four different states, across the United States, working from the whole way over on the West Coast to the whole way to the East Coast. So we're working with educators all over the place, building platforms for them. And that's what Master 3DU does. So I say that to go back to the whole doctorate research part. We're doing some case studies and action research that's all centered around those schools that are incorporating digital badging with standards-based grading. And again, everything is foundational within like Marzano's principles, where he talks about like learning goals and scales. It's all based on his research that these schools are doing. And so we're just adding in that extra layer of communication, because ultimately we want to be able to be transparent with learning so that parents are able to look at a report card and exactly know, like, hey, man, this is a way that I can support my child in this area of reading. And it can be really specific. And that's what sort of sets us apart, because we take that additional layer and customize it for that individual school.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, the talk, like you said, it's something that you developed, you put out to your district, and now it's expanded. So, like, really being able to see how that's been used over time is great for it, that action research project. And the fact that you and your partner had stake in really getting this off the ground. So really excited to see how that develops. You know, you said you'll be done with the doctorate in about a year and a half, something like that.
Yep. Yeah, about a year and a half, we'll close it out.
Still a little ways off, but sometime at the end of 2025, people can look up a little bit about, like, your project. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your current title. So you transitioned from high school math and middle school computer science. You were also an instructional coach, but now you work at the district level. So tell me what that position entails.
Yeah, so it's just like sort of everything else in my life. It's sort of a conglomeration of a whole bunch of things. So I manage all the technology for the district. So in one sense, I'm a technology director. I work very closely with our assistant superintendent on curriculum development. So I help lead the curriculum writing team for the district. And then on top of that, I have three instructional specialists that work for me we help lead the professional learning across the district. So I get bits and pieces of everything, but what's cool about that is that I see the intersection of technology, curriculum, and instruction. And not many people get to see all three of those and how they're working from a big picture point of view. And I use this often, but when I'm sharing with people how, like, my perspective has to shift based on who I'm talking to within the district. If I'm talking to a teacher, they don't necessarily want to know the big picture of how everything is working together. They want to think about, okay, how is this impacting my classroom and my students? So I'll get down and I'll talk to them at that level. And then when I go to talk to our, like, board of directors, like, well, I'll take a step back and I'll have to talk about big picture, because they don't want to hear the nitty gritty. They want to hear, like, what the overall direction is. And having this shift back and forth, I assimilate myself to Grover from Sesame Street. If you've ever seen that clip of him going near and far, and, like, he talks about how, like, he shifts back and forth, and it's about direction in that sense. But I took it as a much bigger level, and we're a big Sesame Street fan in our household. But realizing that me in the position that I am, I constantly am shifting between that, like, hyper-focused on a specific concept or a specific idea or piece of technology. And then I also have to take a step back and look at, like, get district comprehensive planning or long range planning for the district. And just having that relationship with everybody across all the buildings in our district. It's definitely an interesting job. And I think that I think I'm well suited for it, because I'm constantly doing a little bit of everything myself. So.
Yeah, and that sounds like you have your toes in many areas. The fact that you were both in middle school and high school as a teacher, you have that experience. But then you said your app is used for the K-5 range. So you have kind of experience at all levels. And, like, yeah, it sounds like this type of position is well suited to your prior experience, right? And kind of like you said, you're shifting focus and kind of know what the audience is. So,
yeah.
So you told me that you are also drafting a website. Will that be out when the book comes out, or is that you said it's going to be videos and online courses? What should people look for?
Yeah, so the site is actually live right now. It doesn't have all the content just yet, but it is youcanbethecause.com. And if you go there, you'll see information about the book. You'll see information about me. And then ultimately, there's going to be a new section on the site that is all of the learning resources that I talk within the book about. I talk about like lesson plans, and I talk about activities that you can do. All of that, I am working on the back end to coincide with the launch date. So when the book launches, this part of the site will become active. And anybody who buys the book has full access to all the digital downloads that are there, online courses that are all structured around the effect framework that I outline in the book. I am of the idea and the understanding that like we all collectively work together in order to achieve a common good at that point. So I think that analogy or not analogy, the acronym of team being together, everybody achieves more. I am an open book when it comes to the online site. So anything that I've ever created is going to be housed on there that aligns to any of the number of strategies that are outlined in the book. Better or more is better in some cases. You might find one thing that you can take away and that's enough for me.
Sure, sure. Well, that is great to know that people can access that and are able to get more material, like you said, free material. So again, that's ubthecause.com. Where else can people connect with you online on social media?
Yeah, so you can contact me at Mr. J. Korb. That's my Twitter handle. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's Mr. Josh Korb. If you want to email me, it's mrjkorb@gmail.com. Or you can access it on my site. If you're interested in having me come out and talk with your teachers, I love leading professional developments or keynoting. You can access my either via like Be the Cause, or you can access joshkorb.org. And I have all of my like speaker engagements on there. And I'd love to book a time for us to get together and really talk about how your teachers can be the teachers that make a difference. And really highlighting what they're already doing well and how we can just tweak it to make it even better.
Great. Sounds like, a lot of things that people can use as they're planning for PD at the beginning of the school year and, helping lead teams in, implementing different ed tech strategies, or if they are interested in using digital badges. So out of everything we talked about on the podcast, and we visited a lot of things, with what you're doing with your book and your doctorate. But what would you like listeners to remember?
Yeah, I'm gonna go back and there's this idea of chaos theory. Mm-hmm. Now this is what a way to end a podcast. But chaos theory is in sense this exaggerated analogy of like there's a butterfly in one part of the world. When it flaps its wings, it causes a tsunami on the other side of the world. Now don't necessarily believe in that ramification, but in a child's life, if we are that cause of their success, if we are able to get them on the path towards what they view to be successful to them, ultimately that's our job, is to inspire the fire within our kids every single day. So when you go to work, when you go to school, think about it as an opportunity to be that small stone or that small pebble that's dropped into that lake. You may never see the fruits of your labor, but you're for darn sure it's there. And somebody's going to remember you because of how you made them feel inside the classroom on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important. A lot of educators forget in the day-to-day, right? Monotony, it seems like, of it all. But I think, like you said, we don't always hear back from those students, but we do cause that ripple effect. So it was great talking with you today on the Out of the Trenches podcast. I'll make sure people are able to connect with you, see the links in the show notes, and good luck on the launch of your book.
All right. Thank you so much for having me.
My book, Out of the Trenches, Stories of Resilient Educators, has now been published. You can access it through Amazon. You can buy it at the Road to Awesome website, or you can get it through my website at danagoodyear.com. Please leave a review, and you can also access it on Kindle. Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.